So glad you decided to tune in. I have a very special guest, pastor, theologian, professor on the line with me today. Dr. Robert Chow Romero has a PhD from the University of California at Los Angeles. He also has a JD from the University of California at Berkeley. He is also an associate professor in the Department of Chicana Studies and Asian American Studies at the University of California at Los Angeles. He is the author of more than 15 academic books and articles, including the one we're going to talk about today, Brown Church, 5 Centuries of Latina, Latino, Social Justice, Theology, and Identity. Recently published May of this year, it's also Amazon's #1 bestseller in Christian Liberation Theology. Dr. Romero is also the former Ford Foundation postdoctoral and predoctoral fellow. He is also an attorney and a ordained pastor. Together with his wife, Erica, he is the co-founder of Jesus for Revolutionaries. That's #4, Jesus for Revolutionaries. It's a Christian ministry to activists. He's also a board member of Matthew 25 Movement in Southern California. You can get his book at ivpress.com. Dr. Romero, thank you for joining us on another segment of
Reclaiming History.
Dr. Romero, are you there?
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. Honored to join you for this conversation.
It's a fantastic day to talk about the Brown Church and the intersection with social justice. So I'm so honored you agreed to be on my show. To my listeners, great book, very thorough. The historical part of the book, I really, truly enjoyed that. There was enough information in there that I could really sink my teeth in, but I didn't feel like I was sitting in a classroom and, you know, you really just laid it out in a readable way.
That's great to hear. I'm glad that it came across as accessible and readable and yet still with good meat.
I read the book and you were throwing some very weighty stuff around, stuff that really was loaded. But the things you mentioned in this book, I'd never even heard about as it relates to Latino, Latina individuals who were involved early in the Christian movement and early in social justice in the Americas.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the history of the Brown Church, it's really has not been told to white audiences. The book tells the forgotten history of the Latino Christian social justice tradition. And a lot of people don't realize, but Latinos and Latinas, we've been sort of fighting for social justice in the name of Jesus since 1511. You know, even before the Protestant Reformation, and the Brown Church was born in 1511 when a priest by the name of Antonio de Montesinos, he went to this church service of these elite Spanish conquistadors in the islands of the Caribbean, and he told them, the words that you're about to hear will be some of the strangest words you've ever heard. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. He said, Spaniards, the horrible things that you're doing to the natives of the Caribbean, God's going to send you to hell unless you repent. And that began the history of the Brown Church and this history that spans the colonial period of Latino Christians challenging colonialism, challenging the Spanish conquest, challenging Jim Crow segregation, challenging the persecution of immigrants, and many, many sort of untold stories that most people are unaware of, unless you're like a specialist. Most people have never heard these stories. And I will also say that the story of the Brown Church is very much intertwined with the story of the Black Church. And so it's really an honor to be here to share about our common histories together.
So what exactly is the Brown Church?
Historically, Brown Church would just refer to the Latino church, sort of as an ethnic church. But the framework of the Brown Church in this book is new construction. The way that I'm using Brown Church is first to refer to the 500-year social justice Christian history. Brown refers to the cultural mixture in Latin America. So as Latinos, we have European, we have indigenous, we have African, we have Asian, we have Jewish, we have all kinds of every kind of cultural mixture we have in Latin America. And so Brown is like a metaphor for that mixture. And secondly, Brown, I'm using it in the book to refer to our racial liminality, our racial in-betweenness as Latinos in the United States, kind of in between black and white, legally, socially, historically, and kind of how as Latinos in the United States, we have experienced just honestly, historically, some of the benefits of whiteness historically, but yet we have also had a shared experience mostly with our black sisters and brothers of segregation, of discrimination. And so brown is kind of, again, a metaphor for that in-between space that we've occupied. So brown church is like, in that in-between space, how have we been the church, and how have we mobilized and advocated for justice?
So I noticed in the book that you said on page 16 that Jesus was brown. Did you mean that he was brown ethnically or racially, or did you mean that he was brown in the sense that he was on the margins of Jewish culture or Jewish society?
Yeah, for sure. So Jesus was most likely literally brown. The main point of that is more like that he was brown in the same sense that Latinos are brown. To get into that, it's helpful to discuss the framework of Galilee in the Bible. Latino theologians picked up on the fact that the Bible says that Jesus was from Galilee. Latino theologians such as Virgilio Elizondo and Orlando Costas, they talk about how Galilee was the hood of Jesus' day. Galilee was like this marginalized community, whereas Jerusalem was like the center of power, the big city, the center of economic, political, religious authority. Galilee was like the backwaters. And the people from Galilee, they spoke with an accent. They were bilingual, trilingual. They spoke Aramaic and probably some Greek and Hebrew. They lived with the pressures of Roman colonialism. They lived with the pressures of Greek culture, and they were kind of squeezed, and they were looked down upon actually as a mestizo people. And they lived in this in-between space. And in that sense, you know, Jesus was a Galilean. And in that sense, Jesus was brown. One of the Latino theologians calls this the Galilee principle. Those that human beings reject, God calls his very own. You know, Jesus was also metaphorically brown. There's this beautiful tradition of Latino social justice theology. Again, that's 500 years old, that began in the colonial period with Montesinos, with Las Casas, a nun by the name of Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, that has continued in Latin America with, you know, most folks have heard of liberation theology, but there's also something called Misión Integral, Integral Mission. There's a whole indigenous Latino stream of theology in the United States over the past 40 years called Latina theology, which brown theology is like my catch-all phrase to incorporate all of that social justice reflection.
Who in the book do you think is the premier warrior for social justice?
I would start with Cesar Chavez, probably the most famous Latino that ever lived, right? You know, he's like on a stamp. He has like famous struggle with the farm workers. But so few people know about the role that faith played in his life and how his faith was like central. And I'd like to kind of share a quote that gets to the heart of his faith. Chavez said, "The only justice is Christ. That's God's justice." We're the victims of a lot of shenanigans by the courts, but ultimately, down the line, real justice comes. It doesn't come from the courts, but it comes from a set of circumstances, and I think God's hand is in it. God tends to write very straight with crooked lines. And so it's like,
wow.
He was very direct, right, about his faith. Chavez, so he was raised in what scholars call abuelita theology. Abuelita is, in Spanish, means grandma, right? Yeah, so he learned about Christianity from his grandma, his mom. Cesar Chavez, you know, was a Mexican-American Roman Catholic. After he came back from World War II, he lived in San Jose, California, and he met a priest by the name of Father Donald McDonald. And Donald McDonald introduced Cesar Chavez to the formal social justice teachings of the Catholic Church, which talked about God's heart for the poor, Christian obligation to care for the poor. His abuelita theology was supplemented by sort of more formalized theologizing about justice. And then Chavez became a community organizer because that same priest introduced him to Saul Alinsky. And then Chavez became one of the first Latino community organizers for about 10 years. And he goes to organize farm workers. But the brilliance of what he did was he fused abuelita theology with Catholic social teaching, with community organizing. And that made the movement so unique as an example of how faith played itself out. You know, Chavez is famous for this famous long march, but it wasn't a march. and he called it a pilgrimage. He arrived at Lent in Sacramento on Easter morning, and they celebrated communion off of the backside of a farm worker pickup truck. His famous fasts were not hunger strikes per se. They were religious fasts. It was a plea for nonviolence and for God to purify the movement.
To my listeners, if you want to add a book to your library, this is one of those books. It's called Brown Church, 5 Centuries of Latino Social Justice, Theology, and Identity. Few moments that we have left. Is there anything that you want my listeners to know about your book or any other work that you're doing in your local community?
I'm also a community organizer. We have an organization with others called Matthew 25, and the website is matthew25socal.org. And we are working to provide housing and legal resources for refugees from Central America. And also, we are looking to advocate for just immigration reform. So if you'd like to get involved on a practical level, please check out matthew25socal.org. And then I'd also say that I just give a plea for Black-Brown unity. How powerful would it be if we come together as Galileans in this important moment?
So Dr. Robert Chow Romero, thank you so much for joining me on another segment of
Reclaiming History.
Thank you, Sister Mallory. It's been a pleasure.